Marilyn Dennis and Jamar. Wake up. I love this show.
Chum 104.5.
Serious question for any of the adults listening right now. Serious question. When was the last time you made a new friend? Like a new friend, someone you've never met before, someone you had no context or anything, a brand new friend.
This summer.
Really?
Yeah, I did. I met somebody through my friend Debbie Travis, and they're from England, and we hit it off, and we are, you know, long distance friends, but we're friends. Is that what you mean by friends?
Yeah, I guess so. I think that counts.
Like you let somebody in a little bit. I mean, if the distance wasn't there, I'm sure we would have already had dinner.
Do you guys talk on the phone?
Not yet. No, we just text.
Text. Okay.
Yeah.
I think that counts.
Yeah.
I'm going to take myself out of the questioning because I just moved.
Yeah.
So everyone I've been meeting in the last year of my life are brand new friends.
Yeah,
really.
Right.
I think that's a little bit of an anomaly. But according to what we're reading, the average person in North America has not made a new friend in 5 years. I get it. I completely understand it.
I get it, too.
Because once you get out of university and the school setting, there are very few places for you to make brand new connections with people.
Well, that's a big demographic of people around your age, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
Where you're moving around and you're kind of forced to get into a new sphere, new circle. You're taking new courses. Once you get out of school and you're into the workforce, you're really not making new friends. If you ever think about that?
No,
and I think that's a big issue with the dating world, too. That's why a lot of people have trouble once you get into your older years finding a date, because you're not in any like new social circles.
Yeah. That's why they say, if you're a single woman, for example, they say go to an NBA game or a CFL game, or put yourself into a position with your girlfriends that you can meet other people. So when's the last time you made a new friend?
I was thinking about this as you guys were speaking, and I think it's probably been over 5 years.
Yep.
Yeah. Probably has, because I'm realizing that a lot of the newer friends I made in life, they were partners of my friends. So they were my own friends, significant others.
Yep.
And you spend more and more time together. Mm. You really click with them. Maybe they have a group of friends, but like most of my friends have been in relationships that are over 5 years now.
Ah, now let me tell you some great news.
Okay.
You haven't met your best friend yet.
Oh, yes. You always say this.
Because when you have a baby and you start going out and the little one goes into whatever, daycare or gets into sports or what have you, then you get to meet some other parents and you go, I like that person over there.
Is that how that works?
It worked. Well, Patty and Virginia are two of my best friends. They have nothing to do with what I do. One's a teacher. I met her through Virginia. I met her through T-ball. And I met Patty at the dry cleaners because we both left our children in the car with the car running.
You know what?
To get our dry cleaning.
it all started from there.
Yeah, but I mean, I got that because they weren't professional moms. In other words, they weren't precious moms. They're like moms. People
like-minded.
Like-minded.
It's so funny they say that. My mother's closest friend is one of my friends from grade 6. We were in school together, and we went right up to grade 12, graduated together.
Yeah.
We're friends, but our moms are closer than we are at this point.
Yeah, and that's exactly what happened with Patty and I. Yeah. So it's just, there'll be some new friends. But I get that every 5 years. Yeah, for sure.
A story broke recently about a mother in Quebec, if I'm correct, right? She decided to file a class action lawsuit against the makers of Fortnite, the video game, because of what she says and what they've discovered, that the people that made this game apparently have used psychological, I guess, what would you call it?
Well, I think that they had people that are in the business of understanding, I'm going to say, addiction, psychology, all those types of things to feed into to build the Fortnite platform.
To make the game as addictive as possible.
Yeah, the claim is it took 4 years of developing this game with psychologists and statisticians to make it addictive. That was the point. That's exactly how it was designed.
According to what some people are saying, they're saying that they've studied the game, and the game is probably as addictive as cocaine. Same effects on the brain and how it affects dopamine. And at first I read it, I was like, wow, funny, another person trying to get rich off the system. And then we spoke about it yesterday in the show, and we asked anyone who's a parent who has kids that play Fortnite to respond, and the responses were incredible. I cannot believe how many people listen to this show who say and agree that for some reason this game Fortnite is having an not only an effect on their kids, but an effect on their families.
Yeah, no, it affects the dynamics of the family change completely, because there is a situation where you're always telling your children, get away from it, or an adult child, or maybe your mate. And the thing is that I said yesterday, and I was only talking about this situation, there's a thing about parenting and how much screen time you let people have. But this has gone further than that. This claim is a class action suit. It is going after the maker. So it's not just saying, hey, we're having a problem at home. It's more than that.
And we had so many texts yesterday when we talked about this. We thought, you know, maybe we always get a few texts
sure.
to talk about something.
Yeah.
But we received such an overwhelming amount, and a lot of them from parents who say, you know what? I don't blame these parents. I don't think it's necessarily just their issue. And someone texted in and said, Fortnite is a huge problem. My 9-year-old nephew is currently seeing a pediatrician regarding behaviors, including self-harm, when his screen time was limited. It's completely banned for him now,
yeah.
but he's receiving treatment. Someone else said that their 9-year-old son, who has a 1-hour limit per day to play Fortnite, will set an alarm on his iPad to wake him up at 5 a.m. so he can play it when they're sleeping.
Oh, wow.
So he wakes up earlier. He goes to school wow. tired. He's worn out. He's cranky. And his parents don't even know that he's playing, because he wakes up hours before their day starts so that he can do it.
Read wow. this. Listen to this one. Fortnite right. is 100% addictive. We had to detox our kids several times. Cold turkey, no device for a month. It would change his personality. And he would argue that, why go to the park with two kids when I can play Fortnite with 8 kids online? That's a good argument.
You know what? I just want to say, even before this game came up on the horizon, I remember my nephew, who's now like his second year university, he got very anxious when he was taken away from the computer with those simple, you know, teaching educational tool kind of mm-hmm. a computer screen time to him. When my sister used to pull him away, then he was dealing with anxiety and anxiety attacks. So this is even amped up even more.
And someone else who, you know, wasn't a parent, but they said, I deliver cognitive behavioral therapy and relapse prevention to adults for a variety of things like addictions. Uh-huh. And my friends who have children who play Fortnite, I noticed the attitudes, the behaviors, the emotions really similar to what I see professionally in addicted people. And those early addictions can set you up for bad behaviors later on in life. So it's not just about limiting the screen time because your day-to-day is easier.
Right.
It's setting them up for preventing addictive behaviors later.
And I also want to say this. I think when this gets kind of torn apart a little bit and moving forward, I think there's going to be a book about, for families, how to deal with it. And there's going to be certainly parenting and how to limit screen time before it gets to this point.
So do you think there's merit to this class action lawsuit that's going to happen?
I do now that I know more about it. And I think someone has kind of peeled the onion a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you always scare me when you go, what's the last text you wrote? And then you go, okay. And you innocently tell who you think are your friends at this table, forgetting that you're broadcasting all over the world.
Yep.
And then you go, okay, because this means that. So the topic today is?
Last text you sent will be your online dating profile. Whether you're on Tinder, Bumble, Grindr, whatever you're on.
And mine was, I love my husband. That's not going to get me anywhere.
That would make for a very great relationship
yeah,
online.
Right.
Listen to the ones that are coming in. Last text that they've sent to people. Call me when you have time. That would be a good online bio.
Yeah, that's pretty mm-hmm. good.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm home, but showering.
Oh.
Oh.
A little more specific.
All right. How about this one? Tacos, maybe.
Yeah.
You're going to get a lot of dates. Everyone loves tacos. What time is lunch? I'll look up the bus and ask you. Okay.
Okay. Meh.
Baby, I whisper in your ear.
Oh, nope.
Zoom, zoom.
Oh.
It's the Mazda marketing department?
Exactly.
From like 20 years ago?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Someone else texted and said, I'll figure something out to keep her out of there. Maybe I'll buy some chicken wire.
Say that again. That's funny.
I'll figure something out to keep her out of there. Maybe I'll buy some chicken wire.
That is... I love it.
They'll come back in the second half and score more. The Giants don't have a D.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
I'd have to agree with you, unfortunately. wait a week. Take a test. You're not getting a single date on that one.
No, you're not.
No, that's it. Oh,
know
man.
Your audience.
Someone else said, can you still jump up on the counter?
Oh. That sounds like a fun person.
That sounds like a fun person.
What the hell? No, let's just peel that back a little bit. What would make you say that in the first place?
I don't know.
Okay, fine.
The context is always funny to imagine yeah. what these texts are really about. I'm booking my vacation, so let me know soon. Oh, you're getting a date now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, everyone wants to go on vacation.
Yeah.
My last text someone said was, great. Just simply great. Okay.
How about this one? Can you change my oil?
Let's say it again. Oh, wait a minute.
Can you change my oil?
So this would be on your...
dating bio.
I love it. Can you change my... I like that one.
Can you change my oil?
I like the one, can you still jump off on the counter? That's a good one.
So yeah, you could play that with your friends. Last text you sent would be your online dating profile. You know, a lot of people don't realize that those profile things are more important. People make really big snap judgments based on the picture and your bio. Very, very quick judgment. So you have to kind of write them carefully.
You have to, and not be too long with it, right? Mm-hmm. It's got to be more, don't you think, Caitlin? It's got to be like, you got to zero in on the picture, zero in on one or two sentences, that's it.
And I've been enlisted to help friends write their bios because it's really hard.
So what's your strategy when you're doing it?
Just always be funny.
Always be funny, right?
Yeah, just try to do something a little bit entertaining. Yeah. Don't get too
self-effacing.
And don't do a list, like a whole list of hobbies. No, we find that out when you're talking.
And I think definitely don't go on like a rant about looking for my loved one because my last husband was that is a red flag.
The list of do's, don't worry about it. You'll get to that when you talk. And the list of don'ts, that's kind of a bummer to start things out that way.
Exactly.
I like this. Very helpful.
Something to think about. If you did not know, today marks the 31st anniversary of National Coming Out Day, which I actually didn't know was 31 years long.
I know, it's amazing. October 11th, and it was chosen because it's the anniversary of the 1987 National March on Washington for lesbian and gay rights, and that's why today was chosen, yes.
So if you're part of the LGBTQ community, we recognize you, and we are speaking about you this morning. But if you're in the heterosexual side of things, you're wondering, what is it like to come out when you don't have, you know, anything to reveal about yourself like that. So we have Shannon Burns here, one of our faves, one of our family here at Chum.
Hi, Shannon.
Thanks for having me, guys.
We want to ask you what was your coming out experience like?
I came out originally when I was like 18, started coming out to friends and family, and I had a horrible, horrible coming out experience. I think like the first 30 people I came out to like did not approve. Did not give me a good
And they
reaction
said that verbally. They did not approve.
Or like, I'm praying for you, or I can't approve of this.
So there's religious overtones from your...
So I grew up in a really religious community. Mm-hmm. So that's exactly why.
It's one of my least favorite things when people tell you, I'm going to pray. It's so condescending.
Oh, totally.
What do you mean you're praying for me? I'm fine.
And what do you say?
I'm going to pray for you. What do you mean? I'm fine.
Where you just go, thank you.
Right.
Cool.
So how did you navigate and manage this on your own with this young brain that's going, no, this is who I am?
It was bad because when that many people tell you that you're wrong, you start to think it within yourself, right? So it was many years where I just didn't like myself, and it really takes a toll on your self-worth.
It
really adds a lot of shame. And I think I didn't even realize how much shame was weighing down on me until I had held on to this for so long and many years until I finally was like, okay, you know what? No, you're not right. I'm right. I can be who I want to be, and I'm going to live that way, and I'm not going to apologize for it.
Did you find you had to move away from all that you knew to do and enter into some other kind of sphere?
Yeah. So I grew up in this religious community my whole life, so I didn't know anything other than that. So I kind of made the decision to move across the country where I didn't know anybody and just start a new life and have that opportunity to walk down the street and hold my girlfriend's hand without having to worry about like who's going to spot me on the street.
Right. And so how are things now?
Things are good. Yeah. I mean, things aren't exactly where I would like them to be. Sure. But I have a beautiful girlfriend, Jess, who's on our sister station.
Yes, you do.
We live together and we're still working through a lot of things with my family. They're not totally have come around, but it's something that I say for everybody just to work at it every single day. That's all you can do, because if you don't, then you're just going to wallow in it and it's not great.
Something you hear a lot of people say, they're like, why does this have to be in my face? Why do I have to care about this? Why don't you just do your thing and I do my thing? What would you say to someone who has a view like that?
Well, first of all, me just doing my thing, that's exactly it. Like, it's me just being me. And people see that as me shoving it in somebody else's face. But if my girlfriend and her boyfriend, my friends, post a photo of them kissing, it's nothing. But if I post that with my girlfriend, people see it as throwing it in their face when I'm just doing the exact same thing that anybody else is doing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But the fact that there are so many people that are still so against it just means that we have to go that much further. We have to talk about it, and this needs to still be a conversation that's had, because people aren't totally there yet.
Yeah, that you have to advocate constantly.
Totally.
And I'm sure that takes a toll on family members and your mate and all, everybody that's surrounding. But you're doing such great things, and you're living your truth.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I just want to be my authentic self.
So one piece of advice to take away before we say goodbye to you and we hear you on the radio later on today.
No matter how hard it is, just keep pushing because it'll be so worth it in the end.
Shannon Burns, thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Thank you guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah, really, that's okay.
Let people live in their own skin.
Right.
Absolutely. I'm completely in agreement with you on that.
Happy National Coming Out.
National Coming Out Day. Thank you, Shannon Burns.
Thank you, Shannon.
Do it. Yeah. What's trending in Toronto with Caitlin Green? Brought to you by the Plastic Surgery Clinic. Let me know.
Rudy Giuliani, former New York mayor turned Donald Trump's personal lawyer, has found himself in the middle of, and I think that, you know, the official political term for this is a ever-growing dumpster fire. I think that's probably what people would call it. Yeah.
That is accurate.
Yeah. After two of his associates were arrested this week, these two men had been helping Rudy Giuliani investigate Joe Biden, and they were introducing him to influential people in the Ukraine. But they were arrested Wednesday night as they attempted to leave the U.S. with one-way tickets to Frankfurt.
This sounds like a Bourne identity movie or something.
It does. But imagine that they're, like, physically not in any condition to be running through an airport. So, both of them had been subpoenaed to testify before Congress, hence the one-way ticket to Frankfurt, in this impeachment inquiry. And both, along with two other men, have been charged with making illegal campaign contributions using a shell company entirely dedicated to funding Trump's 2020 run and donating $325,000 to a pro-Trump super PAC last year. Now, really, they're accused of basically funneling foreign money into a U.S. presidential candidate. That's what it is. It's foreign influence and foreign money trying to influence a U.S. election.
The outcome,
The outcome of the election. So there was a news conference yesterday with the FBI, and they were not mincing words. They said these allegations aren't about some technicality. This isn't a civil violation or an error on a form. This investigation is about corrupt behavior and deliberate lawbreaking. Yeah. And what happens when you deliberately break the law? Like, you probably want to hide that, right?
Right.
Or do you want to take a bunch of videos and post them on social media? If you're Rudy Giuliani, that's what you're going to do, because this is a video of him with two of the guys who were arrested openly referencing the Ukraine.
Hi, Moisha.
Moisha, how are you, baby?
How are you doing?
I can't wait to come back.
See you in Ukraine soon. We love you.
Hi, Moisha. Hey, see you soon.
Yeah, that's you come back. Love you. Love you.
Guys, love you. Love
one's
you,
got
buddy.
The gold chain on. The other has the chest hair sticking out of the top of the shirt. They both look like they've had one too many pierogies. it's quite a sight.
First of all, don't be smirched pierogies. You can never have too many of them.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, that is an accurate description.
Oh, it's just, do people forget that they are doing this and they don't think anyone's going to see?
I just think if you go unchecked for so long, you just get more and more brazen. So we'll see how this progresses. Now, on to the snake-headed fish, from one snake-headed fish to another. So the snake-headed fish is trending because after the state of Georgia issued a warning to kill the fish on site if residents saw it, a lot of people actually just learned of its existence for the first time. And so the internet starts freaking out. It's an invasive fish species that can breathe air and survive on land. So this thing comes walking out of the water, breathes on air. It's a danger to other species. That's Marilyn.
That's making me feel weird.
Isn't it?
That's a good description of the snake-headed fish.
So guys, don't worry. Just because these things can grow up to 3 feet in length, walk on the ground, and breathe air, doesn't mean we have to worry about them. It's just in the U.S. Guys, in Canada, stop freaking out about this.
I don't think they can move fast, though. That's why I think that they're labored with their breathing and very slow.
They are.
Like a turtle.
They are labored.
Okay.
So there you go. Don't worry about
it. It would still freak anybody out to see that.
It would, but we don't need to be scared. I'm seeing everyone on the internet scared. Don't be. It's just an interesting fish.
Then why'd you bring it up?
Because it's trending.
Okay, we've been waiting to talk to you this morning, Chloe.
No pressure.
Because we want to hear about this story.
I mean, there's so many great stories. Are you talking Bella? Are you talking Liam?
I'm personally talking Liam.
I'm talking Liam too. I'll give you Liam.
Because he's in town right now doing a movie.
Yes, he is. So it's this TV series. Uh-huh. It's called Dodge and Miles. We don't know very much about that. So yeah, he's filming in Toronto. But what we're really excited about is the fact that we saw him holding hands with a mystery woman in New York City. They went out for a meal, they went out for some drinks, and then they were not shy about holding hands in public. When you're Liam Hemsworth, you know
that people are going to catch you. Yeah. And so this is kind of fun because, you know, it was only 2 months ago, you guys, that Liam and Miley announced their split.
Right.
And since then, we've seen Miley do her thing with Caitlyn. Now she's doing her thing with Cody. And now we're seeing Liam with the mystery woman. But we got to figure out who she is.
Was she helping him across the street by holding his hand? Or just his
I mean, look, Liam, if you need help crossing any streets in Toronto, I am your girl. I'll look left and right and maybe we'll double take just to be safe.
But listen, this is the ultimate clapback. Like, he is like, hey, listen, I'm on the scene too, Miley.
Oh, yeah.
No?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, of course he is.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. I love it. I hope we get to see more of this. Okay, so that happened in New York City. They were seen strolling across the street. Also in New York City, Bella Hadid celebrated her 23rd birthday. Her friends, her sister threw her this great little dinner party. And who reportedly shows up? The Weeknd. Of course, these two have been on and off for many long, long time, but they, you know, they're not together right now.
Yeah.
But according to this source, he showed up and they left together.
Okay.
So who knows?
Not quite over. The Weeknd is not quite over.
I don't think so. We're leading into the Weeknd, so maybe we'll see a little of the Weeknd and Bella, which is great. And then we've got a new series coming to CTV, Crave, and Netflix in 2020 with our very own Jess Mulrooney.
Yes.
Ben's lovely wife. So she's, of course, internationally acclaimed wedding expert, celebrity stylist, and now she's going to be taking those passions into a show where she's going to help couples redo weddings where there was tragic situations that happened the first time around.
It just didn't work out.
Just didn't work out.
I know.
Like
redo.
The actual wedding?
I do
or,
redo.
Wow, I like that. The actual wedding had some kind of tragedy in there?
Or some story where it didn't happen the way they wanted it to.
Yeah,
happen,
they're
right?
keeping it really under wraps, but it's either a tragedy or a disaster. Some reason their big day just didn't go quite as planned. Jess is going to go in, this show's going to go in, and they're going to get them to redo their wedding day so that it can be a positive one.
So we have Where To I Do with Tommy Smythe.
Yeah.
And then I Do Redo with Jessica Mulrooney. Welcome to the family, Jess.
Welcome to the fam.
Chloe, happy Thanksgiving. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
E-Talk's on tonight at 7 o'clock on CTV.
Yeah, you know, weddings are dicey because it's a lot of pressure for that one day.
Are you feeling it there, Jamar?
Story of my life, girl. Are you kidding me? I can tell you. Yeah, that's a lot of pressure.
All I can say is keep it simple.
Okay.
All right.
I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Snooze anymore. Marilyn Dennis and Jamar. Wake up. I love this show.
Chum 104.5.